Tour of Lanude History Museum. Hall 3. Hello, dear visitor. We are glad to welcome you in the halls of our Lanude History Museum. The exhibitions of the museum begin with Hall 3, where you can see a Cossack mannequin dressed in Yushman, Cossack armor of the 15th-16th century, weighing 16 kilograms. The first information about such armor dates back to the 16th century, the time when Ivan III the Terrible reigned. The special design of the armor provides mobility in combat, and the armor's elements protect vital parts of the body. Next to the Cossack, you can see a copy of the 18th century map. Here you can trace the way of the Cossacks from the western part of the country to the territory of modern Ulan-Ude. The displays on the walls show archaeological finds on the territory of the city and the site of the Huns' ancient settlement. The most remarkable archaeological find here is a saber blade of the 14th-15th century, found out of Ulan-Ude in an ancient burial site of the Mongolian warrior. If you look closely at the blade, you can see the fold line in the middle. It is explained by the fact that during a burial the blade was bent, in accordance with the ancient customs of Siberian peoples. When the warrior was buried, the weapon that belonged to him was made useless by breaking or bending the blade. In the middle of the hall there is a model of Udinsk fortress, which started the history of Verkhny-Udinsk city, now Ulan-Ude, in 1666. Initially, when a squad of Cossacks under the command of Gavrilo Lavtsov landed on the bank of the Uda River in 1665, they built a wooden cabin there to collect yasak, a tribute from the local population paid off in furs. They began building the fortress in 1678 by the order of Governor Ivan Parshennikov, who arrived from Tomsk. The fortress was repeatedly attacked by the South Mongolian princes, who didn't want to lose the tributaries living on the territory of the Uda and the Salinga valleys. The border disputes were settled in 1689 when the Treaty of Nerchinsk was signed, and Udinsk fortress began to change its purpose and shape. From a defensive fortified building, it gradually became a transshipment point for merchant caravans. Later, it was used as a warehouse, and some buildings were used as prisons. At the end of the 18th century, the dilapidated walls of the Udinsk fortress were abandoned and remained in desolation for a long time, its debris dragged away for firewood by the local population. The fortress was demolished in 1812. In 1991, the Transbaikalia Cossack community erected a memorial cross made of granite at the site of the city foundation. It was done in memory of the first Cossack squads who built the fortress that served as the starting point for our city. Archaeological excavations are currently underway at the site of the city's foundation. The remains of fortress walls, household items, horse equipment, and ancient coins were found there. The first city burials performed according to the Christian Orthodox traditions were also discovered. Some photographs taken during the excavations at the site are presented on the display. It also shows the only image of the Udinsk fortress made during the years of its existence, in the 1730s, by German artist Lursenius. The exhibition ends with a shop model illustrating the commercial significance of Verkhny-Udinsk, where its January fair, the largest in Transbaikalia, was held. The city was located on the Great T Road, a trade artery stretching over 10,000 kilometers, which began in Wuhan in South China and ended in Moscow. The first fair was held in 1768. Merchants from Irkutsk, Tomsk, Tumen, and China used to come to Verkhny-Udinsk fair. The fair lasted for 2 weeks and was the largest commercial and cultural event in Verkhny-Udinsk. In 1790, the decree of Her Majesty Empress Catherine II approved Verkhny-Udinsk coat of arms, emphasizing the commercial status of the city. The shield is divided into two parts, Yirkut's coat of arms is in the upper part, where you can see a barber, Siberian name of the tiger, with a sable in its teeth, and the lower part shows the wand of Mercury and the cornucopia on the golden background, as a sign that the city is home to great trade. The decoration of the shop is an old copper samovar, made in late 19th century. It used to belong to the owner of the estate, Евдокия Голдобина. Later, she presented the samovar to Anna Tsuranova, the cook of the house, in gratitude for her devoted service. In the hall, you can also enjoy the collection of old photographs of Верхнеудинск. They are on the shelves under the fortress, and you can pull them out and look at them closely. These photos were taken at the beginning of the 20th century by a local amateur photographer Николай Бурлаков. Николай was a teacher, a local historian, and he took a lot of pictures of the city. Hall 4. Now let's go to Hall 4. Here we see the figures of the house owners, Ivan and Елизавета Голдобинс. The house of the Голдобин family on Большая Street in Верхнеудинск was famous for its hospitality and warm welcome. Ivan Fligontovich owned this house since 1888. The house was electrified inside and outside and equipped with good quality furniture. Ivan Голдобин was a merchant of the First Guild, the owner of a winery, glassworks factory, a well-known philanthropist, and the owner of gold and salt mines. He was awarded the status of an honorary citizen of Верхнеудинск. In 1891, the Голдобинс received an important guest at their estate, the heir to the throne of the Russian Empire, Crown Prince Nikolai Alexandrovich, the future Emperor Nicholas II. Before his arrival, the house was decorated with electric illumination, which makes this estate the first house in Верхнеудинск connected to electricity. The living room had an exit to a small balcony, where Nicholas would go out on. The house was decorated for the visit with 15 flags. Here Crown Prince Nicholas received guests who arrived from all over Transbaikalia with their offerings and gifts. When leaving, the happy prince presented Голдобин with his own portrait with an autograph. Apart from the Crown Prince, other high-ranking officials often stayed with the Голдобинс, generals, governors, and bishops. Charity fancy dress balls were often held at the Голдобинс estate. They usually were the final event of Верхнеудинск January Fair. They also arranged card game nights. Also, the Голдобинс had the very first grand piano in the city, and Елизавета Ивановна loved playing music on it. Hall 4. The exhibitions of Hall 4 contain old photographs and objects. One of them is a cabinet of the early 20th century, designed in the modern style in Germany, decorated with stained glass and made of Karelian birch. Another is the Hapfer piano of the late 19th century. It was made in Königsberg, and the keys have not yet lost their sound. One more interesting exhibit is a small bouillotte, a teapot. Such bouillottes were placed on a stand with a spirit lamp, which heated the tea. Tea was the most popular drink in the Russian Empire, which ranked the first in the world in terms of tea consumption. Wealthy merchants could drink up to 40 cups of tea a day. In the museum, you can watch a documentary film dedicated to Nicholas's round-the-world journey and his visit to Верхнеудинск. He visited our city on June the 20th, 1891. At that time, he was traveling through Asia, the Far East, and Transbaikalia. On the way from Chita to Верхнеудинск, he visited the famous Atsagat Buddhist temple. It should be noted that the local population welcomed the prince very warmly. Верхнеудинск commemorated Nicholas's arrival by erecting the Triumph Arch, also called the Tsar Gate. Hall 5. The exhibitions of Hall 5 are dedicated to the Soviet period of the city. One of the corners is designed in the style of a Soviet apartment in the 1950s-1960s. After the establishment of the Soviet power, the Goldobins' house was nationalized. Nikolai and Evdokia Goldobins, who lived here at the time, were moved to the second floor. The rest of the premises were used for city institutions. For example, in the 1920s-1930s, the Friedrich Engels Communist Party Club and the editorial office of the Buryat-Mongolskaya Pravda newspaper were located in the house. In the 1940s, a kindergarten was there, and later the Writers' Union began to operate here. In the 1960s, the house was divided into communal apartments. The house was turned into the Museum of Ulan-Ude History in 2001. With the advent of the Soviet power, the city underwent quick industrialization. In the 1930s, several plants were opened. One of them was the locomotive car repair plant, LVRZ, which opened in 1932. It was the first heavy industry enterprise of our city. After that, other factories were opened, such as the Ulan-Ude Glassworks Factory, the Mekanlit plant, which produced engines, cranes, and electrical appliances, and the Ulan-Ude Aviation Plant, opened in 1939. The flagship of Buryatia food industry, Ulan-Ude Meat Processing Plant, now called Buryat Mesoprom, was put into operation in 1937. The enterprises worked even during the Great Patriotic War, ensuring the victory of the Soviet Army. In 2016, the title City of Labor, Merit and Glory was conferred on Ulan-Ude. After the war, the city gradually returned to a peaceful life. New streets, avenues, and places of interest were built. The construction of the opera and ballet theater was resumed in 1945 and was finished in 1952. The central part of the city, which included Soviet Square, Lenin Street, and Pobeda Avenue, was developed at the time. In 1971, Soviet Square was decorated with the main monument of the city, the world's largest Lenin head, which is 14 meters high, along with a pedestal, and weighs 42 tons. The authors of the monument are sculptors Georgi and Yuri Nerodas, father and son. The photos of the sites that appeared in the city can be viewed on the projector. Hall 6. After the exhibition about the Soviet period, we will proceed to Hall 6, where you can see gifts from 16 twin cities. Among them are Darhan, Erdenet, Ulaanbaatar, Manchuria, Lanzhou. The unusual spiral staircase made of cast iron is one of the best decorations of Hall 6, as well as of the entire museum. It was ordered in St. Petersburg, specially for this estate, in the 19th century, by Ivan Goldobin himself. Crown Prince Nicholas once climbed this staircase, but now every visitor to our museum is able to walk in his footsteps. The staircase has an interesting feature. It can be disassembled into separate elements and easily dismantled. It was made possible due to its special design. The steps are connected together with bolts. Having passed the stairs, we find ourselves on the mezzanine, which used to hold bedrooms and where Prince Nicholas spent the night. Now you can see interactive exhibits and moving exhibitions there. This is where our tour ends. Thank you for your attention and have a nice day.